As I was sitting at my home office, because that's where I study, Wednesday is my study day, and unless I have to teach, I don't even come to the office till about 4:30 or 5 after most everybody's gone. Then I go up to my office over there and then come over here. And I was just sitting there thinking about all of the things that we've had to deal with in the last couple of years. And then at this time of the year, you know, we deal with a lot of things that causes us to, if we're not careful, we lose our peace of mind. You know, circumstances, situations, problems sometimes come and cause us to get out of peace. You know, it's a reality. The devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's the one that's causing all the chaos and all the trouble and everything that's going on. And, you know, I think all of us would like to see the day when we don't have any more problems. But as long as the devil's around, we're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. But the Word of God helps us to be able to do some certain things to help us to keep our peace. Maintaining, I could just call this maintaining peace of mind. You know, years ago, and I've told you this before, but I'll tell it again. A man came up to my dad and said, "Brother Hagin, would you please pray for me that the devil won't bother me anymore?" And my dad looked at him and said, "You want me to pray for you to die?" Because as long as we're in this world right here, the devil's the god of this world. It says so in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul says that the devil is the god of this world. And what he wants to do is cause problems, troubles, and for everybody. And so, but I want us to go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read this, the 28th verse from the New King James, the NIV, and the NLT. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. New King James says, "Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but you of salvation from God." Now let's read that in the NIV. It sounds, "Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God." The NLT says, "Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This is a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself." Now, the other side of that is true too, the opposite side. If we're terrified of our enemies, that will give them the idea that they can defeat us. The challenge for most all of us is to demonstrate the peace of God in every situation. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, right? But in the midst of whatever we're facing, whatever we're having to deal with, whatever we're going through, we need to maintain a peace of mind. God desires that we walk in peace and not in torment. Now, let's flip on over to chapter 4 of Philippians, and that's where we're going to zero in on tonight. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now let's read that from the NLT. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and holy, admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, these are verses that we read occasionally and maybe think about a little bit. But I want to sort of take these verses apart, diagram them, dissect them, whatever you want to call it, you know. I don't know what they do. Used to, we in biology class, you had to dissect a frog or something. And then in English class, we used to have to diagram the sentences. I don't think they do that anymore. But I want us to take these verses apart, and I want us to look at three things that I believe that will help us to be able to maintain a peaceful state of mind in every situation. Let's look at the first part of that verse 6. I call it 6A. Be anxious for nothing. And then NLT said, don't worry about anything. Now, I grew up in the house of a man, had the same name I did, Kenneth Hagin. And he didn't worry about nothing. In fact, Mama said to him one time, said, Kenneth, I don't think you'd worry about it if me and the kids was gone. You wouldn't worry about it. He said, no, wouldn't be no use to worry about then. You're gone. That was him. You know him. People think they know Dad, but they didn't. They just know him from reading his books and hearing some of his sermons. I lived with him all of those years. But he said there is no use of worrying about something if you learn how to let God take over. Now that's easier said than done. What good, let me ask you this question. What good has worrying and fretting and being anxious and fearful about something, what good has it ever accomplished you? Huh? Nothing. Nothing. You know, now, there are some things some people do and have to take medication because of panic attacks and so forth, and that's okay. Do that as long as you have to, but believe God to get off of the stuff. See, some people think that just because they're taking medicine that it's not a sign of faith. I know a man, a minister, that he gave himself a shot of insulin his way back, but many years ago when all you had was an insulin shot for diabetes. And every day he'd check his sugar level and then they'd tell him how much insulin to take, and he would give his shot. But every time he took it, he'd say, I thank God. The power of God's working in my body, affecting any healing and a cure. And he had talked to Dad about it, and Dad told him, said, well, keep taking your medicine because you're going to diabetic coma and die if you don't take your medicine. But say that, healing power of God's working in my body and affecting healing and cure. He kept saying that for quite some time. And then his doctor told him, said, hey, I need to run some tests on you. And he ran some tests on him, and he said, have you been taking any insulin? He said, no, the last week, I believe he said, and maybe it's 3 days. I don't know. I've checked my sugar. I haven't had to take any insulin. He said, well, don't take any. I've been your doctor for 30 years and you've been taking insulin, but said, I don't know what's happened, but said, your pancreas is working. You don't need to take insulin anymore. But for years, he took his medicine, but he kept believing God. And that's what I want to say. See, there are some things that we can take medicine for that helps us, but we keep believing God and saying the power of God's working in my body to effect the healing and the cure. Power of God's working in my body to effect the healing and the cure. I've told many people that have to take medicine. Sometimes some of the things just don't, whether you know it or not, you got electrical current in your brain, and sometimes they don't work right, and you have to have something to cause that to work right. So I'm not against that at all, and I said all that because that does make some people anxious and so forth. But hey, you need to realize that we have to guard our minds and what we think on. We are not designed to walk around carrying all our burdens. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And then that same thing in NLT says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You know, there are some people that they want God to do half of it. And like a lady came to my dad one time, said, Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that the Lord will take half of the burdens? Because I think I can take care of the rest of them. Of course, Dad refused to pray for her. And he said, well, that's not even scriptural, sister. He said, until you're willing to let go of all the burdens, I don't care how much I prayed, nothing would happen. See, it says give all of our burdens to the Lord. Now, look at 1 Peter 5:7. We all know what it says. But I want to read it here from the Amplified. Casting all your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. He cares about you with deepest affections and watches over you very carefully. You know, and one of the other translations says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The whole burden of our whole life, Henry Ward Beecher said, should be rolled on to God because it doesn't weary him. Though when we carry those burdens, it wearies us. If we want to maintain peace and come out ahead in every situation we're dealing with, we have to learn what Psalms 37:7 says. Psalms 37:7 in the New King James. I'm seeing some of you turning there, and I see some of you writing. Some of you are going to it in both your Bible and your Bible device. Okay, rest in the Lord. Wait patience for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now let's go read that in the NLT. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Be still in the presence of the Lord. In other words, quit fretting. Be still. And wait patiently for him to act. We live in a fast-paced world. We want it now. How many times have you got in a line at a drive-up and, oh, man, this is just too long. And so you say, I'm just going to go inside and order. got impatient. Hello. See, we need to just, once we turn it over to God, we need to quit being worrying about it, quit being concerned about it. Just say, okay, God, you got to take care, and let make and just act like he's taking care of it. If you really believe he is, act like it. Come on now. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. See, now that's where you need to go there in Isaiah and get no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now, here, stop being angry and upset. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust the Lord will possess the land. Some people say to me all the time, said, do you know what people say about you? I said, no, I don't really care. They said, don't you read it on the internet? I said, no, I'm not going to go read it. Why read it? Most of it's a lie anyway. They just took something I said and turned it around and twisted it, and it wasn't even what I said. Have you ever noticed that they do that with coaches and different people that make statements about stuff? They take their statements and turn them around and make them, you know. So I don't even, I said, I'm doing what God asked me to do. If it bothers them, that's their problem, not mine. See, you got to get to that point or you can't have peace. No matter what anybody says about you, no matter what anybody does, you know, one of the biggest battles you'll ever fight is to don't let those thoughts bother you. Don't let what somebody said, you know, I mean, I was talking to somebody on, I say a while back, it could have been 10 years because I go so hard and fast and see so many people and go travel so much and preach so many times. But, you know, they were bemoaning what somebody had said about them at work. I said, what difference does it make? Has it affected your job? Has the main boss come down and got on to you because of what that person said? Well, no, the other day they just told me I was doing a good job. I said, well, then forget about what that's. Well, I just can't. It just runs over and over in my mind what that person said about me. I said, as long as you keep letting it run in your mind, you're going to keep going down that way until you get yourself in depression. Do you know you do that? That's why he said told you what to think about. Okay? You know, one of the biggest secrets of having success in life is learning how to refuse being anxious and worried and burdened down. You know? So the first thing we got to do is give our burdens to God. You know, people, because somebody says something about them, they start and they get in strife. They get, you know, they get all upset because of what somebody said. You know, if they said it, I said, Lord bless them, I go on. My wife used to say she had to learn how to do this after she got married to me. She said, how do you forget what they did and what they said? I said, I just let it go. I'm not going to worry about what they said. I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I'm not going to worry about them. But you know what? That's hard to do unless you focus on what the Bible says and how what it says to do. It said, okay, that's a burden. Okay, Lord, cast it over there. Because see, cast means to throw away. Like I did that Kleenex box right there. I cast it away. I've seen people cast their burden away at the altar, pray. We pray for them. And the next day, they have gone back and picked it up. And they're carrying it again. Now, once you cast it, Okay? This is a burden. William is the Lord. I'm going to cast it down there. He's got it now. I don't. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. Somebody said, well, what about this? I said, what are you talking about? Well, you know what? I said, no, I cast that away. I don't even think about it no more. Come on now. I didn't say it's easy to do, but if you want to get in line and let the Word of God take control of your life, then that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to cast all the burdens away. The enemy will do everything he can to bombard your mind with all of it during this holiday season, everything to try to get you all down and upset. Get you in depression because of some loved one that, you know, that is gone. We all face those situations. I've faced it before, but, you know, it's not fun, but you have to do it. And you can't afford to let the devil will take that and cause you to get in depression. There's no use to get in depression. We miss them, but hey, really, it wasn't a forever thing because it was just so long. I'll see you later. We all have that blessed hope. And you got to get your mind going there instead of on the loss. Get your mind going on the I'll see you later. I was thinking about that today, you know, thinking about my parents and so forth and so on. But I'm not going to get in depression about that. I'm going to think the other way, the way the Lord says to think. I'm going to think about, hey, they're just over there on the other side. They're waiting on me to get there. One of these days I'll be there. You will too. Hello. See, you take it and begin to think about it in a different direction, and it changes your outlook, changes how you feel. Come on now. Okay, secondly, I've got to hurry. I only got 10 minutes left. Secondly, you take everything to God in prayer. We go into the 6B now and 7. In everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We'll read that from the NLT. I like it. Instead, don't worry about it, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. The peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God wants us to bring every situation, every problem to him and ask him how to handle it. When we know that God is answering our prayers, we have peace about any situation. 1 John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done. That's John 15:7. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask for. We may not see the answer, but we know that God is working. That our peace is in the fact that God is working. That's where our peace is. Resist entertaining fear in your thoughts about unanswered prayer. Just because you don't see it happening right away is no sign that something's not taking place. Remember when Daniel prayed, when the angel finally got to him with the answer, he said, I was dispatched on the first day you prayed. But it was 22 days later when he got there because he had to fight with the prince of Persia and the principalities in the air. The enemy, those principalities, is going to try to stop the blessing from coming, so you don't worry about it. You just keep praising God. It says here, thanking him for what he has done. Even though you don't see it, you thank him because it's done. It's done. That's the way to keep your mind straight. You know, he gives us assurance You know, that's what I like. When we read the word and listen, when we pray in his name, if you've read the word, you will see that when you pray in the name of Jesus, that both Jesus and God the Father give it special attention. You know, I get mail all the time and it says, "Attention, Pastor." You know, people write me. A lot of times they got a word from the Lord, and I know it ain't from the Lord because the Lord ain't talked to me about it. And besides that, it's coming out of left field. It's crazy. But it has attention, Pastor. Well, when we pray in Jesus' name, when it goes up there, see, it's to come to God, it has attention on it. Attention, God. Jesus said that I could ask in his name and you'd do it. All right, I got to hurry now. I got just a few minutes left. Third, guard your mind on what you think on. We already read that. I'm just going to read the NLT because it reads a little better. Now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. I want you to notice he's telling us where to keep our thoughts. You ever notice that is all of that is positive thinking? Did you ever see that? That's all positive. There's not negative stuff there. You know, true, noble, pure, holy, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. These words, If you take those words and truth, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy thoughts, and let them be filters on what you think on, then they can filter out the junk and you just think on the right thing. See, words carry with them, they carry emotion with them. You understand that? Words are carriers. Your words are carriers. What you say, they carry emotion, they carry hate, they carry faith, they carry love, they carry discouragement. So you need to quit thinking on that so it don't come out your mouth. Everybody has to fight against that. I don't care what your name is. I don't care how much faith you have. The enemy will do everything he can to poke stuff into your mind through the ear gate or eye gate. You might read something or you might hear something that will try to get you all upset. And everybody gets that way. You know, we are responsible for what we allow ourselves to think on. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says in the New King James, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments against every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Brings every thought into captivity. According to these verses, we deal with strongholds of attitudes, imaginations, that are thoughts in our mind that are fed to us through our ear gate and our eye gate, and the enemy wants to feed them there. That's why immediately when the enemy feeds a thought through your hearing gate or a thought through your eye gate, immediately you need to cast that thought down and replace it with the Word of God. Now, I just think about one, here it is again. man, they're attacking me. And I immediately say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm no different than you. I probably get more stuff coming in. Recently, I hadn't got as much. I used to get all kinds of letters coming in telling me all kinds of stuff. You're wrong about this, and you this, and you that, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I have to take and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I don't care what they said. They can't, there's another place over in Psalms that says that they formed an evil scheme, but they wasn't able to make it come into fruition. I'm just going to paraphrase what it says there. See, we get rid of all the thoughts that will hinder ourselves. You got to get rid of thoughts that will hinder your relationship with others. Here's an example. Some people will think bad about someone because someone gave them a bad report. Then they begin to think the worst of that person and even tell others. And all they doing is going on what they heard. In a college university, a professor in the seminary started railing against another minister, and he ran it in the class for a while, and finally the class was dismissed. So a student went up afterwards and said to the professor, have you ever been in a meeting of that minister that you're talking about? And the guy said, no. Then the student asked him, have you ever listened to that minister on television, radio, or a CD? And again, the professor replied that he had not. This college professor was simply speaking based on what he had others say, and it was inaccurate information that he was relaying in that classroom. Do you realize that if you're not careful, you'll let something come in your ear gate, then you'll think about it, and it may not be true? Before I ever think on anything, my first thought is, when somebody brings some kind of bad report, my first thought is the opposite direction. I know that person, and that doesn't sound like them. Hello? I'm talking about keeping our minds pure so that we keep a peaceful mind. Right thinking will lead to right believing. Right thinking will lead to a peaceful state of mind. Right thinking won't allow the problems around you to get within sight of you and take away your peace. You can have peace when everybody else is in disarray because you know who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. I don't know whether you got anything out of that or not. It's just something that the Lord gave me today, this afternoon, as I was getting together. Don't let the season and what's going on in the world get you out of peace. In fact, I tell you what, I have stopped watching the news because all it does is give me something that, and if I start thinking about that, it gets me out of peace. Come on now. I mean, we need to sort of know what's going on, but I mean, you might want to watch the, I don't watch all those news channels and all of that. I mean, I used to. I'd have quit that two years ago, I think. I quit watching it because it steers you and gets you thinking on the wrong things. Now, we gotta be cognizant of what's going on in the world. Sure, we got to do that. But we don't have to fill our minds with 24 hours a day. Hello. Most of the time, sometimes we don't. I don't know whether these people anymore. I don't know whether they're telling the truth or not either. But I do know one thing. This is truth. And this right here is what I base my life on. This is what I live by. What God said. Not what somebody else said. What God said. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I talk to the people tonight just to try to stir up their hearts and their minds to realize that they can live in peace. May we all take your word and let your word be in our hearts and our minds, and may we live in peace. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. As I was praying there, the Lord brought to my attention while I was praying, he said, you know, you do have a book. You did a teaching on living worry-free, and there's a book out there in the bookstore. I don't know how many sessions I did, Living Worry-Free, if anybody's interested in it. I'm not trying to sell a book, but it might help you too. Listen, here is our prayer teams down here. The men are here, the ladies over here. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave today. If you're here and you know what it is to serve, but you know you're not where you need to be and you need to pray a prayer of rededication, they're here for that. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you need prayer for anything, as we're dismissed, come to the front and they will pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Remember all the announcements. Remember Sunday. Be here. Be with us. Also, don't forget, we really need you to really bring a lot of toys in for that. There's a lot of people this year that are in dire straits, and there's a lot of kids, and the Marines do a fantastic job of doing this. In fact, one of our men here in the church is a retired from the Marine Reserves. In fact, he was out there Sunday morning dressed in his uniform, standing by the side of the deal. Hey, this is one way that we can give to somebody, because I know what they do. They know that those people are really in need before they give these gifts. And Lynette and I were talking, we're going to go buy a bunch of gifts and bring them in. You know, it's from what was from how many years to what, Bill? I forgot what it is. 0 to 14. Buy gifts for boys and girls, 0 to 14. And I'll tell you what, I just want some kids to have a good holiday. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Rest of you, we'll see you Sunday right here. But don't forget, go buy a toy. You don't have to wrap it. Just leave it in his original package and drop it in the boxes out there. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. In Jesus' name.